بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are still discussing the chapter that deals with marriage from our series عمدة الأحكام. And we have hadith number 317, which was narrated by Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him. So who would like to read it for us? Yes, Akhi.
Anas bin Malik reported that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Abdul Rahman bin Auf with the traces of Zafran on him. The Prophet asked him about it. Abdul Rahman said, I married a woman. The Prophet then asked him, how much did you give her as dowry? He said, the weight of a date seed of gold. And the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, said to him, may Allah bless that for you. Make a walima even with a sheep.
Now, the hadith has a number of issues related to marriage. First of all, we know that Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, may Allah be pleased with him, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, he had nothing at all. He was a rich merchant in Mecca, but he went to Medina, migrating, leaving everything. Sa'd ibn al-Rabi', may Allah be pleased with him, offered him to take half of his wealth, and he refused. He said, may Allah bless what Allah had given you, show me the market. So he went and he started to trade on credit, buying dried milk, selling it, buying clothes, buying this and that, until mashallah he gathered some money, some wealth, which entitled him to get married. So the Prophet saw him once, alayhi salatu wasalam, with the traces of Zafran. And we know that men are not permitted to wear Zafran. Why? Because Zafran is something that is yellowish or have an orange color to it. And this is only worn by women or kafir men, disbelievers. In the hadith that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with him, and with his father, came once to the Prophet wearing clothes that had Zafran on them. The Prophet was outraged, alayhi salatu wasalam, was very angry. And he said, your mother ordered you to wear this? Of course, when you're addressing someone who is a man and telling him that your mother ordered you to wear this, this is reprimanding him, showing him that, what are you? Are you a man? And immediately Abdullah realized this and said, oh Prophet of Allah, shall I wash them? The Prophet said, no, burn them. Why losing money? Because this is a punishment for wearing clothes of the kuffar. You should not imitate the kafir in wearing what they only wear. So likewise, Abdurrahman came but with traces of Zafran. Now, if it's forbidden, why did he have these traces? Because he was newlywed. And this probably came to him accidentally through his wife. Because the perfume, the tib, the perfume of men is what has smell but no color. And the perfume of women is that has color but no smell. It is prohibited for a woman to put or to wear her perfumes and go where non-mahram would smell it. It's a major sin. So Abdurrahman explained, O Prophet of Allah, I got married. And the Prophet ﷺ, checking on his subjects, checking on his companions, he asked him, how much did you pay for dowry? And Abdurrahman said, the weight of a date's seed in gold. This is equivalent to 5 dirhams. Nothing much, something that is not a lot. In a narration, the Prophet said, Subhanallah, do you excavate, do you take gold from a mountain? Meaning that this little amount, 5 dirham, is considered a lot. And this is an invitation, an encouragement from the Prophet ﷺ to reduce the dowries. And it was reported that the Prophet ﷺ had never paid more than 12 ounces as a dowry. So the amount is not that much. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the best of marriages are the marriages of women who get the least in dowry. So the least you pay, or the lesser amount of dowry you pay, the blessed the marriage would be. And the more you raise the money, the lesser the blessing would be. Unfortunately, nowadays, a lot of the people boast about dowries. So one would say, yeah, I married my wife and I gave her £1 million as dowry. But this is at the end of the contract. The actual dowry, I gave her one penny. This is what they write in their marriage contract. I know a friend who married a woman and he put the last payment, £100,000. They divide the dowry into two sections. One to be paid if divorce would take place. And one would be paid immediately, and this was like £0.50 or something like this. And they had problems and they had fights and quarrels and they went to court because of the 100,000. When they wanted to divorce, the man doesn't have money and the woman wants to be divorced, so he's a mess. So the least possible an acceptable amount of dowry is always recommended by Islam. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked another question. Did you offer the walima, which is the invitation to eat food after you get married? And he said that he didn't. The Prophet instructed him to make a walima even if he slaughters one sheep. And he also made dua. So this is the sunnah. When someone gets married, the sunnah is to make dua for him by saying, Barakallahu lakuma wa baraka alaykuma wa jama'a baynakuma fi khayrin. May Allah bless both of you and bless what's ever coming to you and combine between the both of you in goodness. If you ponder upon this hadith, you would find that it is not what the Muslims are doing now. Marriage parties are extravagant. In some countries, in Europe, in the UK, you will find that the groom rents a limousine or a fancy car for the party so that he would go to the party in a car that is not his, just to pay lots of money for that night. The wedding party, the feast, the food, not only that, you would find haram things included. So what is the ruling on, first of all, accepting an invitation to such a party, a walima? What is the ruling on accepting the invitation to a walima? Scholars differ. Some say it's recommended, and the majority say that it is mandatory. And this is the most authentic opinion. If someone invites you for a marriage party, for a wedding, it is mandatory upon you to accept. You have to go, unless you have a legitimate excuse. So what can be defined as legitimate excuses? If there is free mixing, if the marriage is men and women together, whether relatives or non-relatives, they're not mahram, it is forbidden for you to attend. If it's segregated, men on one side or in a hall and women in another hall, yes, it is permissible to go. But if they bring a musical band, or they put music. Music is haram for Muslims to listen to. Only for women, it is permissible to have the duf in weddings. So other than that, if they have a DJ, if they have musical instruments, a band, all of this is haram for you to attend. If they are serving haram, it's segregated, women only, men only. But they're serving haram drinks. This is not Islamic, you cannot go. For women, if the women attending the wedding are wearing inappropriate clothing, and this happens, women complain, sisters complain. They say, we went to a wedding, it's supposed to be Islamic, and what we have seen is all awrah. Women wearing miniskirts, exposing their flesh, and it is completely inappropriate. This is haram. You cannot attend this. What is the ruling on giving a walima? Is it mandatory or is it recommended? Some schools of thought say it is mandatory because the Prophet ordered alayhi salatu wasalam, Abdurrahman, by saying, make a feast, prepare dinner, even if it's one sheep. But the most authentic opinion is that it is recommended and it is not mandatory. Why? Because the Prophet said, make a feast even if by slaughtering one sheep, though he himself made a walima on dates. He called his friends and companions on dates. And also in another occasion, he made 2 sa' of barley and invited people to eat from it. So this means that it is not mandatory, it is recommended to do. When to do it, before the marriage or after the marriage or on the night of the marriage, it's all easy and accepted, inshallah. There is no complication. If you do it after the marriage has been consummated, the following day, this is okay. If not, there is no problem in that, inshallah. Among the issues that we can learn from this hadith, the issue of dua. There are du'as that are permissible. There are du'as that are forbidden. Among the du'as that are forbidden, that the ones used by the people in Jahiliyyah, before the era of Islam, when they say bil-rafah wal-baneen. And this is part of the du'a of the pre-Islamic eras. It's not permissible. What's permissible, that you say the du'a of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah bless you, bless over you, and combine between you in goodness. Barakallahu lakuma wa baraka alaykuma wa jama'a baynakuma fi khayr. We have a short break. Stay tuned and inshallah we'll be right back.